Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to be together to serve the Lord and to grow in His Word. And we're going to be reading a scripture this morning from the book of Isaiah, about in the middle of the Bible, the book of Isaiah and chapter 53. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words down about 700 years before Jesus came. So think about that as God gave these words to Isaiah. And we're going to be reading beginning in verse 3 through verse 7, Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 3. And let's stand together for the reading of God's word. This is a sober passage that talks about our Savior and how He suffered for our sin. So let's notice here on verse 3, we can read in unison down through verse 7. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. And amazing what Christ was willing to suffer for us. And again, this was written 700 years before Jesus came. And he fulfilled this word, this prophecy. You may be seated. In the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about prayer, but now as we're drawing near to Easter and this Easter season, we want to think about our Savior. We want to consider Christ. And today, we are going to consider Jesus' heart. Jesus' heart. Jesus' heart exposed. Have you ever been pressed? I mean, you know, there's just so much going on and there's things that are intense and you're feeling frustrated, a little agitated. And as you're pressed, sometimes, probably more often than I want to admit or that some of us, we respond in anger or harshness to those around us. How many of you have experienced that? I'll raise my hand first, all right? All right, yeah, you know, it's common to the human nature, right? But you know what? This morning, as we consider Jesus, and as we consider Jesus' heart exposed, we find that in one of the most intense, horrific times in Jesus' life, when in the last 24 hours, or not even, in the last several hours, he has been in agony as he approached the cross. And, you know, in those events 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came to the cross after 3.5 years of his public ministry of preaching and healing and helping people, of warning them of hell and telling them about heaven and calling people to hear his words and to be doers of his word and calling people to the kingdom of heaven. The opposition was mounting against Jesus. People either loved him or hated him. And particularly, the religious leaders of his day, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, many of them, not all, but many of them hated Jesus. They spoke mean and harsh and unkind things about him and to him. They lied about him. They called him, they accused him of working miracles by the power of the devil. The sinless Son of God. Can you believe it? You know, there was an occasion where they were going to kill him. They were going to stone him to death. And Jesus said, hold on. He said, I've done a lot of good works. For which one are you stoning me? Right? It's recorded in John. And you know, they said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because you make yourself God. Now, Jesus didn't make himself God. He is God. The Bible says he is the maker of all things. And what is so amazing as we consider Jesus, as we consider Christ, as he left heaven's glory, as he came and became a man, the eternal God, becoming a man and becoming flesh and blood like we have, being a human, a descendant of Adam. He humbled himself to do that. Such an amazing way. And the affliction that he received from so many. But you know, in those last hours, when he was arrested in that evening in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prayed there with his disciples, and as one of his disciples, who was a traitor, came and led a group of soldiers right to Jesus. And in those moments, Jesus did not resist the arrest. Peter had cut off one of the soldiers' ears with a sword in trying to defend Jesus. And Jesus stopped Peter and told him to put his sword away. And Jesus actually healed that soldier's ear, put it back on. Can you imagine? I mean, there was blood, there was all this, and Jesus heals him. I wonder if he still had to wash the blood off. Probably. But there his ear was completely whole. Wow. But you know what? They arrested him that night nonetheless. They brought him and had so many mockeries of him. And too many to go into at this moment. But just to get an idea of how they hurt him and how they hated him. And the crowd was yelling out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And you know, that whole night, from one hearing to another, before Pilate, before Herod, before Caiaphas, all of these different hearings. And yet, before Pilate the next morning, though Pilate wanted to release him and wanted to rather crucify Barabbas, the people demanded that Jesus be crucified. And with one voice, with strong words, they cried out for his crucifixion. Pilate delivered them to the will of the people, delivered Jesus to the will of the people. Let's find our reading here in Luke 23. Luke 23. We'll pick up here with verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus. Would you read these words which Jesus spoke? Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, in our times, when we're pressured, when we're squeezed, when we're feeling the intensity of things around us, so many times what comes out of us is anger and meanness back. Meanness back. Jesus, at this point, even before he got to the cross, he has been whipped with a vicious whip called a cat of nine tails. It was a leather strap that on the end had bits of glass and different bone, sharp things that were tied tightly into the leather, and it was designed to mutilate the flesh of the person who was being whipped. Many people had died at a whipping like this. Jesus was horrifically whipped. And not only that, he was spit upon. People spit in his face. They mocked him. They took his clothes off, remember, put a purple robe on him, and they mocked him. They slapped him. They blindfolded him, and it would hit him on the face and would say, prophesy, who hit you? Wicked. Wicked. This is what was happening to him. And you know what? He took it patiently. They marveled at how he did not retaliate. He did not fight back, though he, of all people, could have. If anybody could have fled the scene, if anybody could have struck everyone dead, if anybody could have called, as the songwriter says, 10,000 angels, the scripture says he could have called 12 legion of angels, which is more than 80,000. You know what? But he didn't. He didn't. He suffered all that. And when he was pressed here in verse 34, we read, what came out? This is unbelievably remarkable. Verse 34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is, I believe, the first words recorded that Jesus spoke when he was crucified. At this very moment in time, Jesus may have been stretched out on that wooden beam, and at that point they may have been nailing the spikes, and the pain shivering through his body, and he said, Father, forgive them. Did not the people surrounding him, the soldiers, the chief priests, these people, let's just be flat honest, they didn't deserve forgiveness. And nor do you or I. You see, forgiveness isn't something we deserve. That's the whole beauty of Christ's love for sinners. Oh, his love for sinners. You know, in Jesus' ministry, it didn't matter whether it was a crooked tax collector. Jesus loved them. Jesus ministered to them. He ate with them. He showed them the way of life. It didn't matter whether it was Look at your bulletin this morning. You see the picture on the front there, just from John chapter 4. Sir, give me this water. Who was that woman who spoke those words? The woman at the well in Samaria, right? She had had 5 husbands. And Jesus noted that the man you're living with now isn't your husband. This was a woman that had a lot of problems. I mean, her life was a mess. Did Jesus say, oh, you're worthless, you know, I don't even want to get close to you? That's what she expected, right? She said, oh, you're a Jew, and why do you even ask me for water? Like, first Jesus asked for a drink of water, right? But you know what? Jesus cared about people, even in their very messed up situations. Jesus loves people. Or was it the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8? When others condemned her and were going to stone her to death, Jesus did not condemn her but said, go and sin no more. Jesus loved people. He was known as a friend of sinners, not because of their sin, but because he wanted to deliver them from sin. Jesus has loved you and me because he wants to save us. You see, the very same people, the soldiers, the chief priests, who were nailing Jesus to the cross, Jesus loved them. And that is exposed in this hour, in this moment of intensity. It is exposed, the heart God has toward us. Oh, I pray that if you or I had been alive 2,000 years ago and been in Jerusalem, I pray that you or I wouldn't have been in that crowd that would have called for his crucifixion. Oh, I pray that that wouldn't have been me. But you know what? He was wounded, we read in Isaiah, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. It's for our sin he suffered and he died. He loves you just as well as he loved the soldiers who nailed the spikes. He loves you just as much as he loved those wicked, hateful people back there who violently treated him and mocked him and hurt him. What a Savior, friends, we have. In this Easter season, it's a special time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of celebration of our salvation, of the price Jesus paid so we could be saved. At this very moment in time, Jesus was paying for these wicked people's forgiveness. You see, we can be forgiven because he paid the price. Sin must always be dealt with. God will judge sin. Sin is a problem, and sin separates us from God. And we know that that's why Jesus came, because the world was in condemnation. Notice, let's go over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, not too far, just chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now let's begin with verse 15. John chapter 3 and verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but Would you read this with me? Middle of verse 18. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, we are condemned. Condemned is another word for damned. And you know what? That's the condition we are without Christ. We are in the same group as the mob that called for his crucifixion. Apart from us accepting Jesus, us believing on Jesus so that we can be saved. We're sinners in need of the Savior. I want you to think about God's heart. You know, he does love you, even on your worst day. You know, he cares about you. You read in the Old Testament, you know, about, for example, the city of Nineveh. Remember, the Ninevites were wicked people to whom Jonah eventually went after God worked in that situation. And Jonah went and preached that judgment was coming to Nineveh. And they were wicked people. It was a wicked city. They were violent. They were cruel. Ungodly. People who deserved judgment. But yet God sent Jonah. And the people repented. And you know what? God had mercy. God had mercy. And God spared the Ninevites. God has come to this world to love us. And on this day, when he to the cross was being nailed, what came out was his amazing love. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I am sure thankful he didn't come to damn us. He came to deliver us. Don't ever doubt that you are by God loved. We are loved with an amazing love. Whosoever will may come, the Bible says. Whosoever. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us recognize how loved we are by our Heavenly Father. This Easter season, let us rejoice that he has sought us. Let us resolve to live for him who gave his all for us. When God's heart was squeezed, outpoured amazing love. Amazing love. When you're squeezed, that's what should come out too. When we let his love into our hearts. Have you put your trust in Jesus? His forgiveness is available, but for those who receive it, for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing account. Lord, in those hours that Jesus hung on the cross, this were some of the first words that came from his mouth. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with resolve to serve you. Lord, if there's anybody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, has not accepted that love, that today might be that day where they put their trust in you, where they receive that forgiveness and cleansing, recognizing their need. Lord, we just thank you for your love. Guide us today and this week. Help us to be mindful of your care for us. And help us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.